Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and I'll be taking you on a journey today through Deuteronomy chapter 4. Do you ever do stuff that you shouldn't do, or do you neglect doing things that you probably should? I don't mean things your parents tell you, like taking out the trash. I mean things that are good for you, things that you know you ought to do, things you should do for you because they're good for you, like eating right, getting 8 hours of sleep, and exercising. There are incredible amounts of scientific research that tell us exactly what we should and should not be doing, yet human beings have a flair for doing things that harm ourselves, despite all evidence to the contrary. Well, this chapter opens up with Moses addressing a people not too unlike us who aren't doing what they should be or are doing things they know they shouldn't. Moses starts by addressing them with the name God gave Jacob, meaning deceiver, after he wrestled with the angel, Israel, which literally means wrestler. Hey, wrestler was a step up from deceiver, let's be honest. But that name would forever describe their walk with God. God's people would constantly wrestle with him, fighting him, grappling with him, resisting him, but very rarely ever submitting to him. Moses has just been recounting the recent history of God's people, including his own failures to submit. But now he tells them what their response should be going forward in chapter 4. Verse 1 says, "Now Israel, hear my decrees and laws I am about to teach you." The phrase decrees and laws is repeated over 100 times throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And anything that God has to repeat over 100 times is pretty important. We should pay attention to it. That's why Moses says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Deuteronomy chapter 4 is the application of the sermon. Now that they've heard the history of where they've been, God wants them to act differently going forward, and it all has to do with how they respond to his word. Verse 2 warns them not to add or subtract from the laws. When people wanted to disobey, they tended to subtract from it, like Satan did in the garden. He says to Eve, "Did God really say not to eat from the tree?" And when people want to obey really well, the temptation is to add, like the Pharisees did in Jesus' day, where they said, "You couldn't walk more than 100 meters, or carry a weight heavier than a piece of fruit, or it would be counted as working on the Sabbath." Talk about adding a lot. It's important to know that obedience and faith are always equated with entering the land. This was connected to Abraham's covenant, the final blessing given to them when God first met with Abraham and said, "I will be your God and you will be my people." And he tells them, "I will give you this land." So paying attention to the law would do a few things when they entered the land. In verses 3 and 4, Moses tells them it will preserve you. In verses 5 through 8, obeying the law would cause them to earn the respect of the other nations surrounding them, making them ask, "What other God lives so near his people?" Lastly, in verses 9 through 14, obeying the law would keep them from forgetting the law itself. So, God lays out practical ways for them to teach it to their children. They would pass it down to the next generation and also remind themselves as they're instructing their children of what was expected of them. He says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you shall live." Moses' biggest concern for them in the following chapter is against the threat of idolatry. Idolatry would be the wolf at the door and the dog at the heels of the Israelites for the rest of their history. They would wrestle with God, but really it was themselves they were wrestling with. Funny enough, idolatry is still our biggest danger. The book of 1 John was the last word ever penned to the church, written after the book of Revelation by the Apostle John. The final verse, making it the last thing that Jesus ever said to his church through the Holy Spirit, is the simple line penned at the end of 1 John. The final verse reads, "My little children, keep yourselves from idols." Perhaps what the Bible is talking about isn't these little statues crafted out of gold or silver, but really the idols that creep into our heart, things that displace Jesus and take first place, making him sit in the back seat. The Bible gives us a God who wants to be worshipped. He's jealous for it. He wants to be known for who he really is, not for this fake version of what we make him. This was in stark contrast to the religions of the day that had superstition as their foundation and thrived on gods that concealed themselves and kept the people guessing for what would appease or placate them. Perhaps God wanted you to sacrifice your spouse or your children. Hey, if it was a pagan deity, one never knew. Those gods were unpredictable, temperamental, and often unreasonable. Worst of all, they were distant. This is why the faiths of the pagan peoples around them were called mystery religions and are still called that by scholars today. Yet here was a God revealing himself who wanted to dwell in the midst of his people. He tells them exactly what he wants and why. The God of the Bible revealed himself instead of concealing. He told them what made him happy, what angered him, and what broke his heart. Moses says in verse 23, "Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Even in the New Testament, Hebrews quotes this and says, "For our God is a consuming fire. God is jealous of us. He loves us and he desires our love." So because of that, God enters into a type of marriage with his people, giving us an agreement and binding himself to it. He promises how he would bless his people if they trusted him. Now, this alone was a huge mercy. Paul says that the law was a burden because we couldn't keep it. But compared to the mystery religions, having the law was a cakewalk. It was a huge blessing. In fact, in another place, in Romans, Paul says to the fathers who were given the law, there was an advantage over the Gentiles in every way. Moses takes them back to Mount Sinai when they were afraid. He paints a picture. He says, "When I first met with God and gave you the law, you saw no form. Instead, I spoke out of the fire. You heard only my voice. Therefore, don't make an idol. Let my word be enough for you," quoting God. This again was different and unique, but it gave the foundation of Hebrew worship, summed up in the following principle. We don't need a God we can see to worship. We need a God we can hear. A God who speaks to us clearly is clearly more valuable. This will be the very sin, idolatry, that would cause him to be tossed out of the land. And Moses reminds him in verse 25, if you become corrupt and make any kind of idol, verse 26, he says, I will call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you this day, that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live long there, but certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. The irony is, despite having all the eyes and noses and mouths and ears, they couldn't do what God could do, speak and listen and see and feel. But God being God and loving his people, having made a promise to them that he'd still never leave them or forsake them, promises in the very next verse, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. When you're in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in the later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. Wow. Because God is a merciful God and it's never too late to turn back to God, he'll always wait and listen. He's waiting to listen now, to hear, to receive any repentant soul who has come to the end of their idols. Read Deuteronomy chapter 4, and as you do, thank God that he's a God who listens.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.